Hey, grandkids, we are back for another edition that is unfortunately belated because I am a dumbass and I forgot to hit record on an excellent conversation that I had with Mr. Dusty Giebink. Dusty, what was your take on Wednesday night?
I will share the blame because I'm listening for now recording conversation and I just kind of zoned out there and we both kind of zoned out and it sucked. So I'm going to try to put that among the myriad things in my life that I'm trying to forget.
Yep, well, we definitely want to try and fix one thing from that conversation, which was the awful thud that we had at the end of it, which came from actually talking about wrestling that that happened this week.
We're great as long as we don't talk about wrestling, so.
So do we want to get that out of the way and just, we can jointly say, wow, Lance Hoyt, holy fuck, I didn't realize it was him. I think that's about what that summed up our thudding end to the conversation.
No, I just read on our message board, which by the way is free and cool and you should sign up now, special one. Mistaken identity situation here, thought that Lance Hoyt was Test and was wondering how the hell a guy who OD'd and killed himself was on WWE television. And, you know, to be honest, there's not a lot of difference between Lance Hoyt and Test.
Hair color, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And it does look like, Lance Hoyt has laid off the goji berries, so that might help.
I don't know what that means, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's supposed to be the super high proteiny fruit that's supposed to be excellent for you. So that is my euphemism for for illegal substances.
He's definitely been training, saying his prayers, and drinking his kappa juice, but. No, he looks kind of disproportionately small, actually. It was kind of a shock to see him in his current state.
Yeah, he really did look like he either didn't go to the gym or he laid off the gas, whichever is the case. Like, I was like, wow, he kind of looks a lot, like, especially after I realized who it was, I was like, wow, he kind of looked a lot smaller.
Yeah,
I last seen him. Of course, that may, to the credit of the WWE, maybe, have something to do with their policy on drugs that TNA does not have in place.
Oh, it's definitely more strict than TNA. Any company that employs Scott Steiner is just a neon flashing sign that, hey, maybe our drug policy isn't so stringent, you know?
Or someone who gets caught with HGH in their car.
In their car, yeah.
But he has a prescription for it, it's all good.
Right. Yeah, he's a regular old Rey Mysterio. He's got that subscription right there.
Oh, man, yes. Or one of our favorite whipping boys. So, yeah, I think that's about all we had to say on the wrestling front there. I think we meandered into a couple other things that, really kind of bogged things down. So I think we should just go ahead and skip over those and get to the meat and potatoes of what our conversation was, which we are going to try to replicate. And luckily, this week has brought us even more news of a similar ilk to help, stir the pot a little bit, make it a little bit different. So that, hopefully we can make this as good as the last one here.
God, I hope so.
Okie dokie. Well, we started off with a Jim Ross interview that was on, we got to it through prowrestling.net, which I believe, was it Yeah, it was posted on a Monday, I do believe.
I think that's
it was
right.
From the Baltimore Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Mr. Ross, well, yeah,
interviewed,
let's start off with...
interviewed by Kevin Egg, who, what did we come up with? Because I originally said he kind of looks like Matt Hardy made it with Chris Nowinski. But then you came up with something better than that.
Well, and I still can't find the guy's name. It was
yeah.
the host of the Best Damn Sports Show.
Okay.
And, you know, I even went to Fox Sports and used their search engine to look for it, and I couldn't find anything.
It's like the guy never existed.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this show was so pathetic, we're not even going to bother with saying who the cast is. So, you know what? I mean, I didn't even bother to try and Google it. So, you know what? If you know who he is, go for it. If not, he definitely does look like Matt Hardy,
yeah.
Who is balding.
More modern-day Matt Hardy with the gut and the balding hair.
Yeah, the poor superstar that they're holding on to, praying that Jeff gets out of legal trouble.
See, we kept your useless brother. That's how much we care, huh?
Oh, man. So, yeah, Kevin Eck interviewed Jim Ross before his health problems earlier this month. Because what? Ross has been off for 2 weeks now? 3 weeks?
I think.
Wow, yeah. So, oh, yeah, because it's... Yeah, because he was supposed to do that SmackDown on Friday, and he didn't get around to doing that. Yeah, that's what it was. So, yeah, I guess this would be week three that he missed SmackDown.
Right.
Anywho, he talked to him about some star building, which, you know, is really the main topic of our conversation overall here today. And,
well, and you notice that that's what all the wrestlers are talking about these days. We're talking about Jim Ross now. Chris Jericho in the past, and then we're going to get to another one here in a minute. It seems to be everybody's talking about this.
Exactly. From a number of sources here. Yeah, I completely forgot about Chris Jericho. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he had mentioned it twice and had really done quite a job pimping what is easily arguable. What the fuck am I trying to say? The best show in wrestling right now, which is not to say that it's a great show in wrestling but it's definitely the best show that we get to watch on TV.
That's right.
Which
That's
is
right.
SmackDown, which has actually built up some new stars such as CM Punk. And yeah, another guy that we can get to later here, but let's see here. What did we start with?
Calling out Jack Swagger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was calling out Jack Swagger, which he, and you know what? That was one thing that you had mentioned on Wednesday there, that you weren't thoroughly impressed with him. And, you know, I had been on the other side of things then. But I watched his Superstars match more, you know, a little more intently. And I was like, you know what, I should, you know, watch it before we redo the show. And, yeah, you know what, there's some stuff in the ring that he could really improve on.
Sure.
In some mannerisms. It did kind of look like, as Jim Ross noted, is that... you know, he's so good naturally that sometimes he can put it in neutral and still look pretty good.
Yeah, that's just it. The guy has just a world of potential. and just amazing athleticism, and I'm not going to bury him at all. I think he can be a real star, but maybe on some nights he just doesn't, you know, bring his A game.
Yeah, and do you think that that might have had anything to do with the fact that he did get bumped up a little too quick from ECW to Raw?
Absolutely. On Raw, it's just a numbers game. If you're not one of the four, you're never going to be a main event character right now. You know, like DiBiase and Rhodes ran into the roadblock, and The Miz got run over by the roadblock. There just seems to be no way for any young guy to break through it. So I think another year in ECW would have done him a world of good.
Yeah, and you know, another guy that kind of ran into it that got through it when he got to SmackDown was CM Punk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, wow, look how this works when you have people that don't mind putting you over. Oh, wow.
Right.
And they gave him mic time, which is, you know, just something way too surprising on Raw.
You know, we can't let that happen.
Because because Swagger's had a little bit of mic time on Raw, but what, his longest skit was that one where he was oogling Eve? Was it? It was last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, that's just really not quite enough.
No, I think talking is easily the weakest part of his repertoire. I was trying to think of a different word so I didn't have to use that one, but repertoire. He really needs a manager, or else something needs to change. I'm just thinking out loud here, but... he's the, you know, all-American, great athlete, good-looking guy. If you can't talk, maybe you're better off as a babyface where you don't have to say as much.
And they've kind of put him in that interesting position if they kind of continue with the story that they're going with now.
Mm-hmm.
In that he is kind of wanting to go after The Miz. For the U.S. title, which it could position him in the babyface mold. Plus, there's another famous wrestler who we've already referenced that came in as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then became a babyface later on, Mr. Kurt Angle.
Indeed.
You know? It's true. It's damn true.
Everything Kevin says is damn true.
They could almost really play his character exactly. Well, I mean, and they've almost played his character exactly the same so far in that, you know, the whole all-American-American and, you know, Angle was pretty similar there, not really resting on his laurels because, that guy unfortunately doesn't know how to rest, which would be to his benefit.
I'd rather have you switch into neutral sometimes than to do what he has done to himself.
Yeah, sometimes you know, you can burn yourself out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could pull something off fairly similar to that, but you know, that's kind of, we'll see what happens here. But I think you
definitely
are right, though. Because you've got to keep
the same goofy charisma that Angle had.
Yeah, and like, well, and just think, the heels nowadays, at least the two most over ones, CM Punk and Chris Jericho, get a lot of mic time.
Yep.
And a lot of booing.
Yep.
Like, for all of the, Cena does a decent chunk of mic work, but he really probably does less than those two.
I would say, and less than Randy Orton as well. With Randy Orton playing his quasi Jake the Snake character, or whatever the hell they're doing.
He's a slitherer. Vipers ready to strike. God.
Vintage Kevin right there. That was vintage Kevin.
Oh, good Lord. And, yeah, we will broach that subject at some point here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see. I think I should... we didn't really knock Swagger down too much. And you know what? Ross also didn't really knock him down that much either.
Right. Like I said on Wednesday, which I don't know why I'm saying like I said when no one's ever going to hear what I said. So it's just a pointless waste of breath there. But anyway, it was more like a pep talk than anything. It was more like, hey, I want you to be a main eventer, but you need to step it up. And instead of, like, being pissy about it, he sort of approached it like a college football coach, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, go a little pep rally. And, you know, I think that they would, I would at least assume that some of these guys would pay more attention to what he's saying than, you know, I understand that they're not going to listen to us all the time. The WWE mole that we used to have is not quite doing his job like he used to.
Maybe he got fired. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, well, Bruce Pritchard isn't there anymore. Maybe that's what it was.
Ooh.
Or if that's who it was.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Well,
but,
Bruce, I always liked Brother Love. Always was a big fan of yours. I wish you the best. There we go.
Yeah, I did not like Brother Love, but I certainly understand why he did quite a stellar job now.
Sure.
Thinking back on it.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if, I don't know if Superstars was maybe a little too soon to see any step up in Jack Swagger. But, he does have a chance to step it up against The Miz, who is our additional piece of information today. So let's, bounce around here.
All right, yeah, The Miz did an interview with Brian Frittit?
That's a tough one.
I thought I had a weird last name. Anyway, the Orlando Sentinel.
For the Between the Ropes blog.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, at least the one thing was them... trying to build up new stars again, the same topic. And I think the main part here is we're starting to realize they're not going to be here for the next 10, 15 years, and they need to start bringing up a new crop of WWE superstars. Do you even give... I would have to think, outside of Randy Orton and maybe John Cena... Do you even see anybody holding on for... I mean, do you think Shawn Michaels is going to hold out for 10 years or Triple H?
Absolutely not to Triple H. Absolutely not to The Undertaker. These guys have 2-3 years tops. And then they're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Cena definitely has the time, and Orton, I think I already... Did I just already say that? Fucking A.
Yeah, that's all right.
I haven't even started drinking yet. The Undertaker, he's already on a, half a year schedule, and really the same thing with Shawn Michaels, and I don't blame them. I mean, it doesn't burn them out. And B, their bodies just really cannot handle what they put themselves through.
In a lot of ways, they occupy the same space on their respective brand. A well-respected babyface who isn't around half the time. And that's fine, But
mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they don't have anyone else to fill that spot.
There was definitely a, well, SmackDown does it again because they have been kind of bringing some people up. The Undertaker, I don't think, was missed quite as much as Shawn Michaels. When Shawn Michaels was gone, wow, it Raw just it felt even worse than it already does.
And when he came back, it wasn't much better because of how they used him, but at least he was back, you know? At least he was there.
Yeah, well, I don't even think you need to say used. I think you can just say how they use him.
Right.
Goofball Shawn Michaels really just doesn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, they obviously showed that he can still cut a serious promo and still even heal it up a little bit. In the build-up to The Undertaker without being, you know, a full-fledged heel, as we will never see again before he retires.
Right. And that was the kind of match that we're never going to see again. That was amazing. That's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of match.
Yes, it was. And one of my buddies, I don't know why, but he went back and listened to that audio that Eric and I did shortly after WrestleMania.
Okay.
And he was quite amused by my rant about everybody arguing about whether it was a 5-star match or a 4.5-star match.
Seriously, I'm totally with you.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? It was great. I really don't care if you think it was 4.5 stars. Like, there are going to be few and far between matches that I will watch in my life, in the remainder of my lifetime, and I go, wow, you know what? That was as good as Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where I'm willing to leave that one.
All this star rating stuff is just nonsense. It's just crap for people to talk about and occupy their time with when they could be talking about something useful, you know? Just sharing ideas for useful things that could be done in wrestling. Because no one cares if a match is 2 stars or 3 stars or 3.5 stars versus 3.75. It's all stupid nonsense.
Yeah. Yep. Well, back to the Miz here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think he's one of those guys that could occupy the top spot, or one of the top spots?
I think because of his charisma and talking ability, absolutely. It's just a matter of getting an opportunity. Like you said here, and you can go off on the same rant as you did last time, because it was excellent, about Stephanie McMahon listening to the fans.
Oh, yeah.
The fans were screaming right at her, and she didn't listen. So,
yeah, that was another interview that that really talked about building up stars too, that we didn't reference. And yeah, Stephanie said, "Oh, I don't really read the dirt sheets anymore. I don't listen to the criticism." And you know, I think that there is something to that. Like, I mean, you can't get too bogged down,
right?
Mm-hmm. In the criticisms, but I would think that there would be maybe some people that you would go to and say, huh, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe we can shuffle things up a little bit. And yeah, you certainly do have a crowd that reacts every week. But they, not only with The Miz, but with Evan Bourne, that they have completely and not listen to the crowd even one bit. I mean, The Miz, and I'll start with him since we're on him.
Okay.
He was being booed out of the goddamn arena.
Yes,
when
he was.
Because of the promos he was cutting on John Cena. But because he got, God, what, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops against him?
Right.
He loses to him fairly clean in that first match, and then they almost tried to have a makeup. Well, yeah, that's right. The first match was really short. The second match, they tried to make it more competitive.
Right.
But at that point, the damage was done.
They had already told the crowd that he's a bum. that he has no chance against Cena. So they just kind of, you know, and it fell flat.
Yep, and they've spent the last 2 months rebuilding him, really. And there is no need for that. I mean, he still could have lost and come out of it ahead.
The classic example is that Steve Austin could never beat Bret Hart. But he came out of it looking like a zillion dollars.
And even the guy that he was wrestling with got a red-hot start in the WWE because of an extremely competitive match that he lost against Kurt Angle.
Yes.
And sure, it was not you know, a pay-per-view feud or anything like that, but it was like, holy shit, this guy just hung with Kurt Angle for like 10, 15 minutes or something. You know, everyone's like, oh my God. And then Cena just cannot even fucking return the favor to someone who is in a much further advanced stage than Cena was when he got called up.
Cena was doing the, I'll wear the color tights of the local home team because I have no other gimmick. You know, he was just green as grass, no gimmick, you know, nothing on the microphone, and Angle was basically doing him a favor. And now, and this is the problem, nobody who gets to a top spot can return the favor. I will never understand this about wrestling.
Yeah, and all these guys, because, well... And God knows how many times, there isn't a recent article about it, but how many times does Triple H, well, actually, that was another one that got talked about. Did we talk about that last week, or is that something this week? Mr. Sheamus.
Oh, no, that was this week we're going to talk about.
Okay. Well, yeah, Triple H, you know, gave props to Sheamus in an interview.
Yep.
And he obviously moved to Raw. And, you know, yeah, that's not really a bad thing, but A, he's going to need the mic time, which he's kind of gotten in ho-hum as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, like, he might be kind of, and speaking of another guy that we'll be talking about too here, you know, they might be forcing a bad gimmick onto him like they did with Kofi Kingston.
Sure. Like, I'm always going to resent Kofi just because of the stupid gimmick he was playing. And that's not really his fault, but, you know, I'm always going to have that in my mind, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be dulled down here now that he's speaking in his own voice and not with some fake-ass Jamaican accent. And, you know, that's the other weird thing about Sheamus is that he sounds like he's putting on that accent, even though he's really Irish. And I don't understand, like, I mean, I have Irish cousins, so, I mean, I'm fair, like, not like, hey, they were born in America Irish, like, Irish.
Okay.
And it's... you know, I hear the accent on a fairly regular basis, so it's like, what the hell? Sorry, Kia's limping around. It kind of bothered me. so, yeah, that's what makes it even stranger that I'm like, why does this accent not sound right? Like, you know, it should kind of sound at home to my ears.
Right.
But, like, he sounds like he's forcing something more than he should be.
Forcing it, exaggerating it, probably. That would be my guess. Because, you know, that's just the kind of thing that Vince McMahon loves, is the exaggerated stereotype.
Yep, as you note, and as you noted during the TNA roster game, evil foreigner.
Yep.
Even if it's from a Western European country that most people probably have some type of descent in their blood from.
Even Canada and Mexico could be evil foreigner. Anywhere that isn't contiguous United States. is considered foreign territory for Vince McMahon.
That is very true. Wow, yeah, we are definitely using the cowbell and exploring the studio space. Sheamus, and I mean, well, no, we're just not going in any direction, but what did you want to hit on there?
Well, one more thing about the Miz interview is that he talks about how he doesn't have many friends in the locker room. Because he's a goddamn prick. No, he's not the coolest, nicest guy I can think of. So he should not be surprised about this at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't pay attention. Like, I mean, he tweets enough with Jericho that I would figure that, you know, that was some sort of a friendly rivalry, but maybe that is not the case.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of seems, well, I guess I don't pay attention enough to some of the behind the scenes stuff to realize that he's the prick.
Oh, he just seems like a cocky, self-absorbed guy who thinks more highly of himself than anybody else thinks of him. So that's just my read on it, and if that's the case, then it's obvious why a lot of people aren't going to like him, you know? He's not going to go out for a drink with, like, The Undertaker, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's something that we'll never get a peek at, that, you know, that we'll always be at a disadvantage with our opinions about, is that we don't know enough about what does happen in the locker room,
right,
as it is generically referred to.
That's not going to stop me from forming opinions on people because I'm an idiot too. So, but you're
well,
right.
They
might not be the right opinion.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's it. Well, and that's the other funny thing about like the Stephanie interview is that, you know, they always kind of reference something like that, and until they open that up, and, you know, yeah, you don't need to know everything that goes on.
Right.
But, you know, there's enough stuff that I realize when something goes wrong in the Steelers camp. Like, oh, you know what? Example earlier this year, Rashard Mendenhall, not paying attention enough in class, evidently. For Mike Tomlin's liking. You know what? We heard about it. We knew why he did not play against the Detroit Lions at all.
Right.
You know, okay, they didn't say the specifics. They didn't, you know, trot out, you know, videotape of, like, him nodding off in class or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, they gave you enough information to go, oh, okay, that's why. And, you know, hey, maybe that's one of the reasons why he did not, or maybe that's one of the reasons he got squashed against Cena. But, you know, from everything that we have watched on TV and that, you know, what limited resources we have to know behind the scenes, there's no reason to think that he shouldn't have come out of that looking better.
Right. But like you said, we don't know. He could be falling asleep backstage, you know, while playing video games and smoking doobies with Shelton Benjamin. Who knows?
Yep. So, yeah, until they enlighten us somewhat, it's always going to be a bit of guesswork. And you know what, we might look like ass clowns sometimes, but hey, you know, how are we going to fucking run a website otherwise?
Yeah, I don't, there's no news site that gets everything 100% right anyway. So we just got to trust our judgment and give our opinions, basically.
Yeah, fuck yeah, even the worldwide leader in sports sound like a bunch of fucking ass clowns. Oh, hold on, that's most of the time, never mind.
Oh,
And they certainly have far more access to what they're reporting on than what we do.
Right.
Oh, man. And
I don't expect we have a plethora of sources. So.
No, and even the people that do have some sources are still playing a little shooting in the dark game, like our fine former employer. Well, I guess he was an employer. I never really got any money out. Well, I guess I did get money out of him a little bit.
Yeah, you technically did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I guess one last little thing here on the Miz interview here.
Okay.
Do you think that there was, if there's anything, and I think this might tie in with your point that he might just be a flat asshole, that he had to prove himself a little bit extra because he was a reality star?
Definitely. Definitely. They looked at him as somebody who would parlay his reality star fame into a cushy gig in wrestling. And somebody who might not have worked as hard for it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that was probably their perception of him.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard not to think that way, too, with all of these reality TV whores that try to hang on with another program, doing something dumb in public.
Yeah.
Good Lord, look at John and Kate, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I've been watching a bunch of seasons of Survivor lately that I've legally obtained, okay? And out of however many seasons and however many hundreds of contestants, I've liked maybe three people. You know, this is the lowest of the low. And getting people on reality shows. And,
Yeah, and there's definitely one other guy, speaking of Survivor, that did not try to even pull his weight, I don't think, in the wrestling biz, even for that abysmal company named TNA.
No.
Johnny Fairplay still could not keep his ass employed for them, even though people such as Eric Young do and get bumped up.
Right. Fairplay did about as much in TNA as he did on the Pearl Islands, which is to say nothing. So.
Yep. So I think having that fear really is fairly well grounded.
Yeah.
You know, He can be as, and I mean, I think that he has certainly, you know, it took him a while to get rolling when he got called up. But after he got teamed, and even right before he got teamed with Morrison, I thought you could see him making strides, and then the two of them together It certainly did wonders for each other, although Mr. Morrison has definitely, it might be the SmackDown Raw conundrum. Mr. Morrison was definitely given more, well, and actually, going back to the putting somebody over thing, John Morrison got put over by Rey Mysterio.
Exactly.
Yes, it was mandatory because Rey Mysterio, you know, did not have his prescriptions with him as Mr. Angle did.
He left him in his other pants.
Yes, he left him in his other pants, and his wifey could not find them in the desk drawer, evidently, in time refute the test.
Wink, 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 wink.
Oh, man. So, Morrison, I think, too, a bit better in the ring. Maybe not quite as good on the mic, I would say.
Right. No, that's fair.
And I think they've certainly given him a more interesting character that maybe the verbiage is part of the problem that he has, too.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to sound like Jim Morrison all the time, maybe not the brightest plan on the planet.
It's not the smartest thing to do, and it's not the easiest thing to do either.
Certainly gives him some snazzy nicknames, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Because what, Shaman is sexy, the ambassador of abdominals.
Yes.
I believe that was a new one, a fairly recent one within the last month or so.
I do appreciate that. That is excellent.
Yes. And, what's the Palace of Wisdom and
Pain?
It's just the Palace of Wisdom, isn't it?
Right, yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to put more into it than there really was. He definitely gets some memorable stuff out there, and unfortunately, much to my dismay, he has come up with an unfortunate nickname for my fellow Flash there, Mr. Ziggles. Which may or may not stick, depending upon the WWE's handling of Mr. Ziggler going forward here.
I think if Michael Cole announced SmackDown regularly, the nickname would stick. Oh, Mr. Ziggler! You know? Because Michael Cole is a useless twat, but... We'll see.
Yeah, and that's certainly one thing that we would love to see happen is the announcers bumped down for their horrendous performances, because Michael Cole would be at the top of that list. Like that is unfortunate that the WWE does not pay attention to themselves in that facet.
I think it's a damn shame how long he's been employed. I would be embarrassed to have employed that guy for as long as they have. He has nothing useful to offer. I don't see his purpose at all.
Yeah.
Every other talent they have right now is better than him.
Was it Byron Sexton on ECW?
Mm-hmm.
He's already better than Michael Cole, although he certainly needs some work, and I think Josh Matthews may be dependent on Matt Stryker to fill up some empty airwaves a little too much.
Right.
I think those two need a little more practice.
they don't gel together. It's not that either of them is bad, it's just that they don't go together as well as other combinations.
Nope. Yeah, they've had 2 weeks now. It's like, ooh. A lot of kind of dead air. Like, I don't know, like, Matthews maybe doesn't describe the action quite well enough. Like, he really does. Matt Stryker does have a tendency to talk a lot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why Josh Matthews kind of toned that down. But Michael Cole, while I am definitely not a fan of his, and even though I was amused by the whole situation, well, or even really a prime example, like, I don't think Triple H on Monday should be coming out and lambasting an announcer to his face, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
By calling everything vintage, like, it, you know, you really shouldn't bury your announcer. Like, unless you're really going to get rid of him, that would be fine, you know? Like, it's like, that would be one of those things, like, in the old ECW, where they're like, okay, you know what, you're leaving our company, we're going to bury you now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It always made some sense. You're like, oh, okay, he's moving on. And, you know, and then everybody get up, oh, he's leaving for, you know, name which WCW or WWEF, whatever it was at the time. Okay, everybody crowd cheers, woo!
And then the ECW fans could play the same game where they would pretend that they would never take the money. And, oh, I can't believe he sold out on us. What an asshole. Boo, boo. You know, that kind of shit. But
yeah, shame on him for wanting a paycheck on a regular basis instead of getting stiffed.
A paycheck that doesn't bounce. How dare he?
Yes, that is a vile, vile wish that most people who are employed have.
<Right.
laughs> Damn them all for wanting a check.
Anyway, just a little sidebar there.
But, well, no, and that was the worst part of that, was Triple H kind of calling him out, and then Michael Cole still using the word vintage, describing a John Cena comeback.
Yep.
Like, Triple H had used it 3 or 4 times, at least, just to be an ass. And then Michael Cole still used it. It's just like, seriously? Oh, my God. I cannot believe that is what Vince McMahon is yelling in the headphones.
It can't be.
Yeah, as much, I might believe, Baby Foley and Baby Taz going over there and playing with their own ball in TNA, that Vince McMahon can be a little harsh on the ears.
Sure.
But, wow. Either Michael Cole tunes him out, or Vince McMahon really wants to kill his main flagship show.
Yep. I think he tunes them out, because how can you not after a while? If you concentrate on that screaming for 2 straight hours, you'd hang yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's really what Taz and Foley could not do.
Yep.
Like, there's the idiot in my office, like, there's a point where it's just like, it sounds like the Charlie Brown teacher, where it's just like, wah, 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 wah. It's like, okay, dude, whatever. Whatever. I'm done. Oh, and the interns before him were the same way. It just gets to the point, it's just like, just shut up. I'm done. And Vince McMahon, like, if I were announcing for them, that's what that would turn into. Vince McMahon would just turn into womp, 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 womp.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And for that, I can't blame Michael Cole one bit. If he tunes him straight out and just does whatever he wants to, that's totally cool with me.
Yeah, I would give Michael Cole props for that.
Yeah.
If that is the case. Unfortunately, he might need to listen to Vince McMahon a little more often.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he might want to change that up because
Vince is just too happy that somebody has the stones to stand up to him.
That might be it.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be just fucktarded? Wow, we found out why he's still employed.
We just cracked the case. And I hate that we did, too, because that's sad.
Yeah, that's like a cold case file. We've let go of Michael Cole being a horrendous announcer for so long.
Yeah.
We could have a TV show on True TV now.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, the one guy that we really, we talked about the paint-throwing incident last week.
Yeah.
I think Kofi held up well again this week, and he is a guy that is getting a push.
Sure.
And yeah, I thought his mic work was...
They've stuck with him. he's a case of a young guy that they've kind of protected and stuck with. So I don't have to agree with who it is. I mean, they're doing a good job with it.
Yeah, and I think, and after watching, because I had speculated that he had grounded himself a little bit more in his style, and after, again, watching him on Monday, I really think that he has. He's kind of limited some of the moves that made him look kind of bad.
Yeah.
You know, there are other guys like in Evan Bourne that pull that stuff off left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and if Stephanie McMahon really listens to the crowd, she must put earplugs in and then throw on a set of, like, jackhammer headphones on top of that, or wires, before Evan Bourne comes out. Because if she at all listened to that crowd on Monday, dear Lord, they were screaming their brains out for that guy.
They are desperate for him to become a championship contender. Because he's young and good-looking and a high flyer, and he's different, and he has charisma. He has everything you want.
And he has what a lot of people don't have sometimes now. Just, you know, oh, God, this goes back to the whole, who was that that we never wanted them to do their finisher? Except on pay-per-view. Was it some guy from TNA? Oh, was it the flip pile driver that Petey Williams did?
Yeah, it was the Petey Williams, yep.
Yeah, Evan Bourne's finisher is so far above everybody else's finisher.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, that crowd, when they saw him going up top for what they thought was going to be the shooting star press, like, you can see the anticipation in the crowd. It's like, holy shit, like, he's getting ready to do that. God, I saw, because that was, well, yeah, that was up in Detroit that we saw him, because he was gone shortly thereafter, I believe.
Right.
I saw that from, like, five rows away or something, and I was thoroughly impressed, and you know what? I'm still impressed by it to this day. Like, it's been 2.5 years.
He's amazing. He really is.
That move is just impressive. And, yeah, if they just let him do that on pay-per-views, I would be perfectly fine with that.
That'd be great.
But, yeah, like, you know, there are a lot of finishers now. It's just like, wow. Like, I saw Zack Ryder doing his Zack attack on, Tyler Rex last week.
Tyler.
On Superstars, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. That guy actually has a finishing maneuver.
Right.
You know, some of these guys, you kind of, like, to me, I forget what their finishers are because they get, you know, wins in other ways sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, like, I mean, definitely the big guys have it, but Evan Bourne, wow, I don't think anybody can really top his finisher right now.
I don't think anybody does.
So, yeah. Stephanie, if you're out there, WWE Mole, Pritchard, maybe call them up. Tweet them something. Good Lord. Push Evan Bourne, for God's sakes.
At the very least, they should send him back to ECW until they figure out what to do with him.
Yeah. That would be just such a great spot for him because he's a smaller guy, which they obviously have a problem with.
Right.
I don't know why, because the guy is still built like a brick shit house, even if he's only quote-unquote, a buck 85. You know, so, because, Ray's getting a little bit old, but he's never been nearly as defined as Evan Bourne.
Right.
Is. And wow, actually, yeah, he, you know, that was another one that Rey Mysterio is one of those guys that actually puts people over.
Absolutely.
And he certainly helped with Evan Bourne when he first came to Raw, but unfortunately he got shipped to SmackDown, which ended up kind of killing off any of the momentum that Evan Bourne built up on Raw.
Right. That's another thing, though, about Raw versus SmackDown. All the veterans who are willing to put people over are on SmackDown. It's just another one of those things that separates the brands.
Yep.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Well, even The Undertaker will do it every now and again.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that he's great, but he's certainly better than Triple H is.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I don't know. Is there anybody else that we have failed to mention that it could be on that ship? I mean, Ziggler, Morrison, Kofi. God, we even got in a little bit of shot at Legacy, who've, kind of been pushed back down the ladder.
Right. That's kind of bizarre how that all happened.
Yeah. Who the hell else was that? Swagger?
Swagger, Sheamus, no.
Miz? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's about the crop, really.
That's the crap of the crop, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's definitely the top of the crop.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and I don't know if there's anything else, but, yeah, I guess Ross was just mentioning, too, which I guess we can, it kind of is part and parcel of this whole, there's got to be some intestinal fortitude that needs to be shown by these wrestlers to get themselves over, really. Because
mm-hmm.
Ross was talking about how, hey, did you have a good match, no matter whether it was 3 minutes or, 15 minutes.
Right.
And, yeah, he referenced how Undertaker and Shawn Michaels stole the show. And, and how, if you've headlined one WrestleMania, do you want to do two? Do you want to do three?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that's something, again, that we're kind of maybe missing out on a little bit. But, I think it translates on TV pretty well.
Yeah. Now, real quick, we should talk about the one other thing that we were talking about on Wednesday, which you kind of brought up about how you know what's happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers because of the reports you read. And maybe they could post that on their website or somewhere where they can, leak out just enough information to keep you interested about what's going on at the house shows or behind the scenes.
Yeah, and that's certainly something that would be impossible to judge. We could read as many house show reports as we wanted to.
Right.
But, maybe some of these guys are slacking off at house shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know about it, Maybe that's another reason why some of these guys aren't getting the push that we think that they deserve.
Sure.
But, there's no way to know about that. Well, and the even further thing that that I mentioned about posting on their website is, they don't have much for minor leagues anymore. But,
right.
The Pirates, I can pull up their stats for all their minor league teams. It's, the click of a mouse.
Absolutely.
Well, the WWE could really do themselves some favors, and people Sheamus has been around a whopping 3 months now or something like that?
Yeah, yep.
They could really post reports about FCW on their website,
mm-hmm.
pimp the hell out of it, And hell, even if they wanted to, they could do like a match of the week or something.
Yeah, there we go.
And if they really wanted to make money, they could start selling those DVDs or something. Well, maybe not dirt cheap, but what? A movie costs like 15, 20 bucks now?
Right.
I don't know how much their pay-per-view DVDs cost, but I mean, you know, maybe lower it to 10 bucks or something so that people could get a hold of that stuff. Like, I mean, there's no reason not to market that stuff. I mean, if they want to try and make more money, there are ways to do it.
Just like OVW marketed themselves as, hey, these are tomorrow's superstars right here today, you know? You're looking at any of these matches, you could have future WrestleMania main eventers on it. You know, I think that's a real selling point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what any college sport does a great job of, building up anticipation for when some of these guys will get to the next level. Some of them are going to be busts when they get to the next level. They might look great in Florida Championship or OVW and then be terrible in the WWE, whether it's because of the, you know, a gimmick change or, you know, they just can't handle the larger crowds. You know, there are any number of reasons, just like there are in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you get drafted to a crappy team.
Right.
You know, maybe you get drafted to Raw and your star just fucking
that's right.
Gets drugged down because of it. And hell, actually, I didn't even think about that. That really could be something that they could do. Like, the draft could actually be a draft.
Yeah.
I always pimp the idea of making the WWE more sports-like. Sports,
yeah,
as you pointed out, is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And they could really say, hey, you know what, I'm going off the grid, and instead of doing the press your luck whammy button practically that they do with the draft now.
Right.
Hey, there's no reason that the GMs shouldn't be picking people. Hell, they could even make it like a fantasy keeper league where each GM can say that there are four guys that aren't allowed to be touched.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, okay, you know what? These people are left alone.
Right.
And then you could even say, hey, you know, if you put those reports on there for FCW, you could say, hey, you know what? I'm going off the board. I don't care about getting somebody from ECW or SmackDown or, yeah, if you're Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody from FCW. And, you know, call somebody up. Like, that'd be fucking cool.
Yes, it would.
You know,
I want Joe Henning. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, God. Especially with Legacy there on Raw. I mean, how good of a pick would that be? Hey, we're pulling up another guy that has, you know, a history in wrestling.
Right.
You know, it'd kind of be a perfect storyline and, you know, say that that was kind of your draft strategy or something like that. You wanted to build up more. Oh, God.
Excellent.
We have already brainstormed more ideas for the WWE than they have thought of in the last 2 years.
In the course of an hour, just having a casual conversation, we came up with a bunch of decent ideas.
Yeah, there would certainly need some fleshing out work to be done, but hey, you know,
right.
we're not being employed.
Right. I would get very specific if I was getting a paycheck, but until I am, fuck it. I'm just going to toss stuff out.
Until all of our fans start tweeting Dixie Carter and get us in as bookers for TNA.
Yes. I've always respected you, Dixie. Always respect to you.
I don't think a tweet campaign would work against Vince McMahon. I'm just saying, throwing that one out there.
probably not.
Oh man. Well, I think we've had a pretty solid show, and there's no reason to goof on the poor idiots that we goofed on the other night, because we really have used a little more cowbell this time. We listened to Bruce Dickinson,
mm-hmm.
and we went more cowbell on the whole future stars idea here, which I like.
Indeed, and we didn't end on a thud. It's always nice.
Yeah, that is a positive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's wrap this puppy up. Last thoughts, sign off. It's all you.
Well, thanks for listening, and I hope I didn't annoy you too much.
And grandkids, better late than never, and it is never too late for a sippy time beer. We're out.